Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We kind of thought because of the ruckus we all raised, we put a stop to that. Well, I have bad news. I don't think we did stop it. I have Dr. Lee Vliet back on the line. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And General Thomas McInerney, 35 years in the Air Force, a true patriot. Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sean. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. Let me do a screen share to set the stage here, folks. This is the news, Tuesday, 9:54 a.m. on June 14th. The World Health Organization to hold meeting on June 23rd to decide whether monkeypox represents a public health emergency of international concern. And if they decide it does, well, what does that mean? Todd Callender says, folks, the WHO is now using their special magic words, quote, public health emergency of international concern, end quote, in this release, which means they are going to declare the next pandemic based on monkeypox. Any infectious malady will work in order for them to claim their ultra sovereign powers, which means they will effectively take over the world through martial law with such a declaration. I'm coming back to you guys. Dr. Vliet, what do you say? I thought we stopped these people.
No, it was clear that all they did was table it, Sean, because the attention was on it. And it was like a feint in boxing. They were pretending to pull back and hold a punch, knowing what their plan was. And I don't think there's any question, but those words are exactly what was agreed to in the 2005 International Health Agreements that gives the WHO sovereignty over our public health response. And they've been ginning up the fear on monkeypox. We did shows on that earlier, a couple months ago. They've been ginning up the fear on monkeypox, which is not a threat to the general population. It is primarily a threat for men having sex with men. It is transmitted by bodily fluids, regardless of the lies in the media right now. And monkeypox can be treated with the same treatments that work for smallpox, which includes hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and a host of other antiviral medicines. So it is not an international concern. It's not a public health emergency, and it's not a risk to the majority of Americans. And yet this is what they do, to use a fear campaign to invoke the 2005 agreements to take control, exactly like they did in the COVID pandemic. America needs to wake up. And all of this, which I'd like General McInerney to focus on, comes from the results of total control of our government as a result of the stolen election in 2020. We have radicals in control seeking to destroy us. And General McInerney is the expert on that.
Yeah, General, please weigh in. Dr. Vliet will get no argument from me about what she just said. We have an imposter president who's done nothing good for this country since the day he took office. In fact, on the first day, he killed the Keystone Pipeline. And he's doing a very good job making us reliant on gas and oil from other nations. It's treason, in my view. But what are we to do?
Well, I think you both hit it when you talked about the World Health Organization in 2005 promulgating their particular directive on global control when you have a, quote, pandemic. Issue that we're faced with is in 2005, the Chinese Communist Party, their equivalent of the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, promulgated a new directive in which they would get global domination through the use of massive biological warfare and massive cyber warfare. They would not use kinetic. Now, this is just the background, so you can see the parallels, what are happening. We got hit in late 2019, early 2020 with COVID, which was not a pandemic. It was a deliberate biological attack by the Chinese globally. And it was followed up in November of that year, and the morning of the 4th, on the massive cyber attack on the 6 battleground states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. That's how they stole the election, using cyber warfare. There were lots of other means in which they set it up. But the final number that comes out in the wee hours of the morning is a cyber number. I think many of us are familiar with the 2,000 mules that the D'Souza put out, and that shows how they use the mail-in ballots. Now, so what we are faced with, the 8 years of the Obama administration, he put in the swamp. He corrupted the U.S. government in the intelligence community, in the judicial community, as well as with FBI, et cetera. That's where he laid in the key leadership that we are now facing the challenge of overcoming, because we are fighting our own government. So we, the people, as Dr. Lee and Sean, as you were saying, we have a challenge. We have been taken over covertly. And what we're going to have is, as Dr. Lee mentioned, is the monkeypox appears to, it could be hemorrhagic fever or something else, Marburg, but there is going to be a new vax or a new virus come out. And it looks like it's now going to be the monkeypox. It's not a threat to us, as Dr. Lee said. So they want to use that again to create fear, get people to put their masks back on, to do all these things where the elites and the Chinese communists and other foreign entities, Russia, can have a global government. And we are facing that with the elites. And it's very important that we understand this threat. They do not believe in we the people. And so we are looking at extremely capable people. Everything they have done. We mentioned what happened on the energy independence, but also what else did they do? They deliberately surrendered in Afghanistan and gave the Taliban $85 billion of the latest equipment. They opened up our borders. We now have had probably 3 million illegals come into the United States with about a 20% COVID-19 rate. We have had CRT, critical race theory, being implemented K-12, college, as well as in the military. And Dr. Lee and I and others have been working on those service academy people that are being forced out because they're not getting the mandatory vaccination. Now, why do you need a mandatory vaccination on anybody below the age of 30 that has a 99.999% survival rate? Why do we have a mandatory vax that they're doing? Because the vaccination weakens our immune system. Dr. Lee can articulate that far better than I can. But the number of deaths I just read this morning from an insurance company are 160% higher than 2 years ago before COVID hit. And it's on other types of deaths, heart, lungs, cancer, a whole host of different things, because the vax has diminished our own survival system and so immune system. So this is what we're facing. Now, who's behind it all? I think we all agree that the current president not only is illegitimate, but he's a doofus. And anybody that says that they're incompetent, they are giving them the benefit of the doubt. This is deliberate. The lawlessness in the cities that we're seeing in democratic cities, this is deliberate. They're trying to create chaos, trying to create fear. All these things we're seeing are not by accident. It is deliberate, and we must hold them accountable. Now, who is the puppet master? Barack Hussein Obama. He is running this from his residence in Kalorama, which is 1.2 miles from the White House. He is the only president that never left Washington, D.C. George Washington went at least to Mount Vernon in Virginia. But no, Barack Hussein Obama is living in a large mansion in Kalorama, 1.2 miles from the White House, next to the largest mosque in D.C. Now, his whole team, from the Secretary of State to SecDef to all of them, are former people that they groomed when they were in for their 8 years. We did not realize it. I was going into the Pentagon 4 days out of the week in certain business, and the fact is I never saw this. So they have done it and conceived it brilliantly, but now they have exposed themselves. And when you have issues like 2,000 mules, independent assessments, plus the assessment I got from Hammer and Scorecard, the CIA program that was stolen and used on those six battleground states, but unfortunately, they committed it to the Chinese communists who used it, and the cyber was coming out of China primarily. It also came out of Pakistan, the ISI, as well as Russia. So this is our problem. Now, what must we do? We must get audits of the six battleground states. However, they are fighting it. Now, Sean, it seems to me, and Dr. Lee, rather unusual that if you got the largest number of votes in the history of this country, that you would want bragging rights and that you would want audits of all 50 states, let alone the six battleground states. Instead, they are resisting any action to look at the 2020 election, which everything revolves back on it, this hyperinflation that we've had, which they are trying to destroy America. Now, what are they trying to destroy? Our superpower status, our influence, the dollar, so the dollar isn't the global currency. They're trying to do all these things to diminish the values of our Constitution and what we have created since the end of World War II. That's what we must be aware of. Barack Hussein Obama was brought up on the knee of Frank Marshall Davis, an avowed communist. And that's why when you look at where this is, the puppet master is, he is the puppet master. And none of the things they're doing, to include the war that got created by the Russians in the Ukraine, when we canceled the XL pipeline, as well as when we took off the sanctions on Nord Stream 2, the Russian pipeline from Moscow into Germany. So all these things are related. Nothing is done happenstance or incompetently. So as Dr. Lee says, America must wake up. We have this threat, and they are using all parts of the economy, medical, cyber, all those issues are being used against us, and it is formidable. So wake up, America. This is our Normandy. This is our Iwo Jima. This is our Battle of the Bulge.
Yes, sir. If I may, I'm going to go back to this email from Todd Callender, the attorney. He couldn't join us today because here's my question, General. He says, please spread the word near and far that this is Bill Gates next time, meaning the next time they'll take us seriously, as he said. Assuming they do make this finding, assuming the World Health Organization says that, yes, monkeypox is an emergency of international concern, which has a very low and subjective burden of proof, of course, then the WHO usurps all political and military powers from all member countries, irrespective of their meeting in the last month. The apparatus is already in place. Well, here's my question. What apparatus is in place? How could this government possibly usurp my sovereignty and your sovereignty and the sovereignty of all 50 states and just give it all away to the World Health Organization? How could they enforce any of this? Let's say the World Health Organization says, yep, monkeypox is an emergency of international concern. Everybody needs to lock down. Nobody can go to work. Everybody has to wear a mask. And now go get in line for the monkeypox shot. How on earth could they possibly enforce that?
If we let
Sean, let me make a point. It is all of the things you just said are clearly against the U.S. Constitution. It was our own representatives who sold out the Constitution in signing the agreement in 2005. And so consequently, the fact that the nations, 196 nations, signed the 2005 agreements, they already ceded authority to the World Health Organization. The public doesn't know that. And currently, the government that we have in power and our institutions that are supposed to represent the people are acting lawlessly. Everyone is asking the question, well, they can't do that. It's against the law. Wake up. What we're saying and what you're seeing, they know it's lawless. They don't care. They're doing it anyway, because no one, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's the courts, whether it's the medical system, pharma, big tech, all of them have consolidated power. They're all acting lawlessly in violation of the Constitution. And the public is sitting there letting it happen and saying, oh, well, maybe we need to file a lawsuit. The courts are corrupted. The courts are not addressing these questions. The courts are throwing out the lawsuits. This is going to take citizen resistance peacefully and lawfully, because you saw what happened to Simone Gold, Dr. Gold, who was speaking peacefully after Capitol Police had opened the barricades and let the protesters into the Capitol. She was there. I don't necessarily think that was a wise decision, but nevertheless, she was there peacefully and was not part of the violence, according to all the videos I looked at. And now she is facing prison as a physician exercising her constitutional rights. Clearly, they are acting lawlessly. And until the public wakes up and stops waiting for someone else to come and fix the problem, we are the solution. We, the people, as the colonists did in the first revolution. They stood against tyranny.
Yeah, as we will as well, because we have no choice. Either we allow these people to have their great reset, their Klaus Schwab wet dream of you'll own nothing and be happy, or we get our great awakening and we take our country back. Mega, ultra mega. Make America great again. Imagine how lost our nation is. Imagine how lost the Democrats are when they try to demonize the phrase, make America great again. Are you kidding me? These people have nothing good on their side. They have no talking points that appeal to red-blooded Americans, and they are truly, truly traitors. And Dr. Vliet, do you have that email from Todd Callender? Remember when I said my response to this was, we need the U.S. Marshals to round these people up, arrest them, and prepare them for jury trials. And Todd said, yeah, here's the problem with that.
Let me quote. And this is from international attorney Todd Callender. Quote, the U.S. Marshals were independent and had their own agency. They were moved under the Department of Justice some years ago. And I think we can check historically. I think that was done under the Obama administration. I'm making that comment as an addition to what he said. And then he said, the U.S. Marshals are no longer independent. This kind of consolidation of power is what the powers are after at a higher level. UN, WHO, OECD, which is the Economic Council Development. In the case of WHO, it's pretty well done. The same goes for the OECD, except the US. And all of the courts are now responding to UN conventions as primary law, which is why I cite international law in my pleadings. The only thing stopping the owners from final consolidation under a Soviet model economy, Soviet government, and single market economy is 300 million Americans with guns and our Second Amendment.
Yep, that's right. Well, General, let me ask you this. If the WHO decides on June 23rd that monkeypox represents a public health emergency of international concern and they try to mandate anything that's unconstitutional, I predict, and you tell me if you think I'm right, I predict that the constitutional loving governors we have in some of these 50 states, like DeSantis in Florida, like Kristi Noem in South Dakota, they're going to stand up on day one and say, hell no, we're not doing any of that. So we have the power of 50 states, don't we?
Well, we do if we use it. And that's the crucial thing, Sean. Will we use it? And that's why what you're doing and the role that you're playing, because the mainstream media would not let Dr. Lee and I on like you're doing. And it's important that we let the American people know, give them the facts. And that's what we're telling them now. And we should not accept it. If on the 23rd, they try to start locking us down again, we should, the American people must then rise up and say, no, we are not going to do it. Now, this becomes very challenging for some because we do not realize, if not appreciated, what has happened to our public health system with Fauci and those that are complicit in this global takeover. And so they have put fear in the American people's mind. That's exactly the reason why Dr. Lee and I are talking to you this afternoon. So you can understand there is nothing to fear but fear itself, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said after December 7th, 1941. The fact is, we must all stand up. We are not going to lock down yet. Again, no more are we going to do it. And we need those governors. And those governors must understand that DeSantis and Kristi Noem, they are leaders in the governments. And the other governors must do that. Now, unfortunately, many in the Democratic Party have aligned because it is a Democratic Party that is behind this. And so we must out them as we're doing now. And that's why I identified Barack Hussein Obama and the other Democrats are all complicit in this. And the mainstream media, to include Fox News and Newsmax, have been complicit in it as well because they will not discuss the 2020 election or 2000 mules.
Right.
So it's the media outlets that we have, like yourselves, which are so courageous to do this, must continue to articulate it and tell the American people, we are not going to lock down. Enough.
Absolutely, 100%. Dr. Vliet, in a minute, I want you to leave us with some call to actions, anything that you might suggest we do in addition to what we've talked about here so far. But General, regarding the Second Amendment, what would you say to the politicians on the Republican side of the aisle that are now playing nice with Democrats and talking about new gun control restrictions based on the shooting in Texas, Uvalde? And by the way, I want to say that under Obama, when the Smith-Mundt Act was amended to allow this government to propagandize domestically to its own people, to lie to the people, the school shootings went through the roof. Go back and look at the chart. 2012 and after, school shootings exploded. And it makes me wonder how many of them are actually what they tell us they are. But what would you say to these people, these rhinos and others in the Republican Party that would dare to try to come after our Second Amendment rights?
Well, I would say that the founding fathers put that in for a reason. And that reason is fast approaching us or has already approached us. And it is one that we have the two constitutional means we have is to do audits on the 2020 election or to use our Second Amendment rights. We will not live under tyranny. This is a tyrannous government. If they try to do that again, we know it is in their game plan and we know who's involved with it. American people must wake up. Rise up, America. Do not accept this.
All right. Amen. All right. I want to thank you so much, General, for your time. Dr. Vliet, I want to thank you for your time. And do you have any calls to action? Is there anything we've missed here? I mean, we're just trying to sound the alarm. And again, I'm not scared of whatever the World Health Organization says on June 23rd. I'm a sovereign human being. I'm a man on the land, and my rights are granted to me by God. So I'm not going to let those people take my rights any more than I'm going to let Biden take my rights.
Well, Sean, I would agree with you. I think that's the call to action. Do not comply with another lockdown. You are a sovereign human being. Monkeypox is not a medical threat, in spite of the fact that WHO and Bill Gates want to make it sound like it's the worst thing, far worse than COVID. And even if they gin up the fear on Marburg, you still have treatments available, which we have posted on our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Click on the monkeypox fact sheet, the hemorrhagic fever fact sheet, vaccine injury treatment guide. And by the way, one of the reasons they're using monkeypox as the next threat to scare everyone is they've already got a vaccine for it that they approved in 2019. Gee, I wonder why they approved it then. America needs to look at what has been going on to build the plans to force everyone in to vaccination with Lord knows what they're putting in the shots. And these vaccines are damaging people. We have 61,000 millennials who died in 2021 in less than 9 months after the vaccine was rolled out. Compare that to 58,000 Americans who died in 10 years of the Vietnam War. America was outraged, at, as they should be, at the deaths in the Vietnam War. Why are they not speaking up about the deaths after the COVID shot among our healthy working age, military age population, 25 to 44 years old, who don't have a high rate of death normally? People, you need to understand, they are destroying our country deliberately on every front. Food supplies are being destroyed. Fuel access is being denied. There are trucking companies that cannot get fuel. There are shortages of diesel and gasoline. They shut off our energy independence. They are driving up rampant inflation. Food costs are going through the roof when you can get them. And medications are shortage. There's shortage of IV supplies. We need to encourage everyone, and we are doing it in our action seminars at Truth for Health every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, teaching people, here are the steps you need to do to get your supplies in place for medical treatment, nutraceuticals, vitamins, minerals, foods. How do you prepare your home to deal with all of this? How do you start becoming more resilient and self-sufficient? There are action steps everyone needs to take, as our ancestors did, that saw them through the Great Depression, that saw them through World War II. We are Americans. We have a fighting spirit. We do not have to lie down and roll over and capitulate to the international powers. So let's get strong. Let's get loud. Let's get involved. And let's fight for our country and our sovereignty.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody listening. Yeah, everybody listening is a fighter, because this is the fight we were born for. You know, if not now, when? Friends, life is very short and we can see what the enemy is doing. I mean, look at this insanity. The U.S. buys 500,000 monkeypox vaccines as global cases grow. Get ready for the fear mongering, friends. But look at the details. As of Friday, the U.S. has identified 45 cases in 15 states. Does that sound like an emergency to you? Does that sound like a pandemic? Give me a break. If there's good news, Dr. Liebleit, it's that these people have no narratives that work, and the American people are waking up in droves. So there is a chance that we may save our country in the 2022 election. We're going to take this thing back with a red wave of freedom and liberty, and we're going to put these traitors in their place. I want to thank you both so much for your time. Dr. Liebleit, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for having us and being a platform for freedom.
Anytime. My pleasure. It's honestly my pride and pleasure to have you both on. General Thomas McInerney, thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Sean. God bless you both.
All righty, we are back. And Joe, here, the IRS has been, as we said earlier, been making some shady purchases over the last several months. And Republican Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida is exposing them for it. Now, they really went after Matt. They tried accusing him of all kinds of things.
Right.
And none of it could stick.
Horrible things, right. Nothing stuck.
Well, he would go on to say that there is a concern that this is a part of a broader effort to have an entity in the federal government buy up all the ammo to reduce the amount of ammunition that is in supply. Now, Gaetz is on to something, because recently the Democratic Communist Party has come up, and they want to, with a bill, they want to introduce a bill. They're pushing, it's being pushed already, to tax ammunition prices by 1,000%, Joe. 1,000%. And so here, that means if you go in and buy a box of ammunition that, like you have bought, that will cost you $40, Joe, they will have on that a tax of $70.
Oh, yeah. Good boy.
There you go. All righty.
Wonderful. Also, during that film, I know they're talking about the diesel shortages and stuff. Well, another story people don't understand is diesel fuel has to have an additive in it. And this additive is called DEF, to make a long story short. And DEF, I think when they fill up, here it is, they have to have a lot of it for every tank load of diesel. Is when a truck fills up, they have to use this stuff, stay on the road. And what happened is the government, the biggest pilot, those pilot truck stops, they supply most of the DEF to the country. And they were informed by Union Pacific that they had to reduce their rail shipments by 26%. And if these rail shipments weren't reduced, there would be these huge embargo charges. This came from the federal government. So Pilot has a bunch of facilities that make the DEF, but the trains, Union Pacific delivers the raw material, which Pilot makes into DEF, then distributes by diesel to retail where truckers can get it. And so the government is cutting down on how much of this material can be shipped to make the very DEF, the improvement to make it clean-burning diesel. So what they're doing is cutting down the amount of diesel fuel available to the truckers, which raises the price of diesel, cuts the amount of stuff people can do. Here it is. A single truck needs 7 gallons of this DEF every time they fill their truck, which is 300 and something gallons. So 7 gallons of this stuff. So the government, to make a long story, complicated story short, is making the railroad cut back on the amount of the materials it can send to the places that make the DEF to make clean burning diesel fuel, and which is causing higher prices, shortages, which affect you and everything you do, because diesel delivers every product that you use almost. And it's kind of a complicated thing, but why would the government do this? And I couldn't find anywhere there was an answer for it other than the fact that the government did. Which tells me they're not trying to help the situation. They are trying to make the shortage of diesel fuel and short and cause us more problems, more pain, because that is what they want to do. There is no other explanation for this problem. And you haven't heard it on Fox, you haven't heard it on Newsmax, and you are hearing it now. What's right, what's left?
Well, we've been telling you, look, what General McInerney said when he says that the government is at war with us. We are at war with, this is an illegitimate government. Now, you're going to hear these prissy preachers for lack of courage, for total and complete lack of courage, and I hear it. And that's why I did those videos some years ago telling you that Romans 13 says that we have to obey the government no matter how corrupt they are. See, they're preaching that not because they believe it, but because they don't have the courage to stand and fight. They just don't. And recently we've got a number of new people attending our church because one of the pastors at one of the mega churches gets in a pulpit and he tells people that they should not get involved in politics and voting. And so here, Joe, for 8 years, every day we were the first, and not the only, but one of the very first and one of the very few that every day for 8 years said, you see what Obama has done now. Everything McElveen said was
exactly
true.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, because Obama is running this, he told you in an esoteric way that that's what he was going to do. And remember when he said that if he had his way, he would have somebody out there in the front as the candidate or the president, and he would have a microphone and he would be giving them instructions on what to say and what to do from the basement. That's what he said. I heard him say it. Now, here, that's exactly what's happening.
And look at how rich he has gotten, folks. He hasn't done anything, and yet he has this huge home now, big, huge place in the Hawaiian Islands, Martha's Vineyards. Both places, if he's such a believer in global warming and the seas rising and everything, why would he build expensive energy, horribly wasteful energy? I mean, huge mansions take a lot of energy, right? And
right.
He's built them right at sea level, where if the sea was going to rise, they would destroy these $20 million or more mansions. One, where'd he get all that money? One. Two, if he's really an environmentalist, he wouldn't live that way. And three, if he really thought it was global warming, it was going to destroy the world, he wouldn't build on the very beaches that are going to be rising 100 feet. So it's all, you know, he's bought and paid for by somebody. He's pulling the strings, but somebody's pulling his chain.
Absolutely. Here you go. I got an article here, Joe, here. Rudy Giuliani and GP's Kara Castronova asked the fraudulent January 6th committee, and boy, are they fraudulent. I mean, they are really fraudulent, Joe. Did you forget to mention the death of Roseanne Boylan? The January 6th Unselect Committee hearings reconvened this Tuesday and Thursday to push their baseless lies and conspiracy theories to discredit President Trump, demonize his supporters, and continue to politically persecute true Americans. These non-factual hearings are massively tanking in the ratings as Americans are waking up to the nonsense. You see, here's the thing, Joe. They think America is so stupid, and, you know, there are some stupid ones for sure, but, you know, they voted for Biden. But
yeah.
Here, that they don't understand that when you have these committee hearings, they're supposed to be both sides are supposed to be involved, the Democrats and the Republicans. They're both sides are supposed to be there. Well, this is a one-sided.
You know they don't play fair, right?
It's like, Joe, it's like going into the court and you only have a prosecution, you don't have a defense. And so some are tuning in to other programmings that actually intend to honestly get to the bottom of what really happened to January 6th, for example, what happened to our fellow citizen Roseanne Boylan that day? Why was this sham committee omitted, mentioning the investigation of her death for the hearing? Trump attorney and confidant Rudy Giuliani had taken interest in Roseanne Boylan's story and is getting the truth out. Click video below. Well, anyhow, he's talking about the podcast. This is an opportunity to bring you to the relevant video. It's a video that he made. And he goes on to say, Giuliano gave the Gateway Pundit an exclusive statement last week regarding the sham, I mean, it is a sham, January 6th committee. On our end, we at the Gateway Pundit broke the Roseanne Boylan story with multiple breaking news articles and have been fighting for it, her. We have been doing the work that the failing Liz Cheney, boy, she's gone. She's out. She can't get, you know, she couldn't even get rated 20% of the vote with her candidate that ran against her in the primary. Liz Cheney couldn't get 20%. And I think her opponent had like 60%. And so does this actually investigate what really happened on January 6th? We will continue to bring you factual information that you will not hear from the government. Well, there you go again.
Footage out there of Roseanne, who was gassed, stomped, pushed down, gassed some more, and beaten lifeless by that police officer, Lila Morris, before the Trump supporters dragged the body off the steps and tried to revive her. That's on tape. A woman beaten to death by the police there, and it's on tape. But
by dirty cops. What was her name? Say her name again.
Her name was Roseanne Boyland.
No, the woman that beat her, the dirty
Lena
cop.
Lena Morris.
Okay. There was another one. There were
Lena
two of them.
Morris.
Yeah, yeah, she had a male helping her.
Right, but that's the one that was listed. Oh, I got to tell this for a joke. It's not a joke, but you'll see why I call it a joke. The Center for Disease Control came out, and they've got new guidance on monkeypox, okay? Here it is. The guidance, they suggest people have sex with their clothes on or masturbate 6 feet apart from each other if you have monkeypox. But they're not calling it a sexually transmitted disease. They talk about additional advice, avoid kissing, and if you cannot keep your clothes on, make sure the areas are covered where there's a rash of sores are present. But then they say, and other tips for being responsible, prospective people should wash their hands, fetish gear, sex toys, and fabrics after having sex, but they suggest you say.
Amazing. Joe, we're going to open the phone lines. We're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. And, you know, I wanted to say this, too. I want to thank all you folks for helping us last week during the Pledge Week. Pledge Weeks are tough. And we are really in a real battle. We really are going to try to do all that we can to save, if it's not too late, those three stations. But, you know, it may be too late. But even if we could save one out of the three, it would be better than none. And so if you want to continue to help us out, we could use all the help we can get. And again, you can, our address is WRWL, that's just WRWL, 14781 Sperry. That's 14781 Sperry, Sperry. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, that's Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Now, I wanted to also say this, Joe. Our newsletter, we get every day, we get more and more people wanting the newsletter. And because of the information that we get out in those newsletters, it's giving the opposition fits. That's why they want us off the air so bad. And the newsletter's free. It don't cost you anything. And if you send in a donation, say, I'd like the newsletter, and make sure, yeah, with a little written note, and make sure we have your address very clearly, your address written out and typed, and the zip code's on there. And it don't hurt to send a phone number, too. Now, every now and then, I surprise people. Every now and then, Joe, I surprise people because I'll be taking a break. I'll be working there in my office, and people write me their nicest letters. And what I will do is I'll stop and I'll give them a call, and just to thank them for their letters and that. And they're always amazed that I'm calling them. And so I just want to call them and thank them, because we are really appreciated. So we're ready to take some calls. But just before we do, I wanted to say, here's what Donald Trump had to say. Well, you know what? We'll do that tomorrow. Go ahead. Who do we have? I knew we'd have Clifford. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I'll just be a minute, you know, because you got other people. But two quick things. LifeSiteNews.com, the Vatican issues its own coinage, and a pope has just put out a coin with a vaccine on the back and a nurse and a doctor injecting people. So that's pretty... you know, it says a lot about the Vatican and the Pope.
Okay, all of the chatter is that the Pope is about ready to resign. That he's going to resign. That's what the chatter is out there. We'll see what's
all over the internet.
Well, that would be awesome, because my Catholic relatives, you know, will want that in a big way. Then the second thing is, which is really interesting, is a podcast called The Fact Hunter, so that's FACT Hunter, June 15th, the guy's an Iraqi war veteran, George, and he has an episode just on Obama. That's an hour and a half. Really, really interesting. He mentions Frank Davis, who you just mentioned, that, you know, he was in Hawaii. His mother may have had a relationship with him. In fact, it could have been his actual father. And some of the other stuff that goes way back, they said to Occidental College in California, the CIA may have been grooming him and moved him to Columbia University. He only spent apparently an actual year there rather than the 2 years, and otherwise was spending time in Pakistan and Russia. Where did he get the money from that? For that? And then they mentioned that Brzezinski, you know, the national security advisor who, you know, is in his writings of depopulation, was one of his professors at Columbia that he had, you know, he was pals with or something. And then some guy that writes for a magazine went back to 400 Columbia people I went to school at the time, and nobody ever saw him. His academic records are sealed. There's not much information about what was going on at Columbia and its Harvard.
Hey, record. Joe, does that what he's telling you? Does that sound familiar? Exactly what you were saying
on the radio way back when.
When Obama, before he was actually even elected, we were telling people that. Even before he was in office, we were telling, look, nobody knows, nobody's seen this guy from Columbia. In fact, we had a guy on who went to Columbia and who was one of the valedictorians or whatever, and he said, I don't ever remember seeing him, and nobody else does either.
And nobody he knew did. And we gave out a website address, I can't remember it now, but the pictures of Frank Marshall Davis and Barack Hussein Obama, if you look at them, I have never seen a closer resemblance, father and son, in all my life. I mean, the pictures, if you overlay the pictures, the shape of the head, the face, everything, I mean, it's almost like a clone. And that's one of the real reasons that it's like, boy, I don't believe in coincidence like that, do you?
No. Well, you know, there was the videos that we had on there, stories of my real father.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent those videos out there, and it talked about how Frank Davis, when Obama's mother was young, actually got her to take nude shots, nude photos, and that. That's how it got started. You got started with her. But anyhow, what else did you have very quickly?
We went through.
We got to move on.
So on that also, there was speculation, like this is the podcast just saying this, that the mother died in apparently in 1996, 14 months before Obama got really into the public eye. And it's almost speculating that she may have been knocked off to preserve like some of the stories. And when he did go to Pakistan, he wouldn't have been able to get a U.S. passport. He apparently had an Indonesian passport when he went there between 81 and 83. So that's kind of interesting that, you know, and his mother apparently was working for a very intelligent woman, also spoke Russian, and the CIA was employing her in front organizations.
All right, we got to move on. Thanks so much, Cliff. John, you're in the air.
Yeah, guys, you guys are great. You know, you're one of my three biggest influences in my life right now, and so I want to thank you for that. The second person of influence to me is my pastor, who's phenomenal. He's not a milquetoast. He's a real man, a real preacher. And the third one is becoming a guy named Charlie Kirk, who you guys probably know well.
Right.
Charlie just wrote a little booklet, 40 pages. It's the best I've read in the last year on our culture, and it goes into the Great Reset. and he's putting them out to anybody who's interested in them. And so I recommend that to you guys because it's phenomenal. He talks about the World Economic Forum and about Putin being a main speaker at the World Economic Forum before in the past. So all the stuff with Zelensky and Putin is pretty well delineated there. And it's just great because he goes into globalism and then he ties it beautifully to biblical prophecy. It's just amazing. It's really good. So just watch.
Well, we recommend people go to the website. Just think all they have to do is type in Charlie Kirk, and it'll send them to a website, yep. And that'll be there available.
Yeah, it's TPUSA, and it's / Charlie Kirk. It'll go right to the offer they have. They're giving the book away for free, and they're sending in the mail. No shipping charge, anything. Just donations, of course, but you know, it's a wonderful little booklet because, and then the last thing that happened to me today was I ran into two people who do printing for me, and they're phenomenal people. They're great printers, but they came out and they told me that for 40 years they've been anti-globalists, fighting all of this. I don't know if they listen to you guys. But they were so clued into everything going on, and that gave me a shot of optimism today.
Good.
All right.
There are a lot of people who are awake and have been awake, like Pastor Ernie. He's been out there for almost 50 years, warning, sending up the, look what they're doing now, kind of alerts. And so there are a lot of people with knowledge, but we're spread out.
Amen, and God is going to have the victory. God is going to be the victor in the end.
Amen. You know, you're absolutely right. That's got to be our number one right there. That's our number one hero, if you will. God is our hero.
Amen.
And so, and he's going to deliver that. He's never lost a battle, and he's never will. And there you go. But thanks, John. God bless,
Amen.
My friend.
You guys have a great evening. Bless you.
You do the very
much,
same.
Sir.
All righty. Let's go with Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Pastor Joe. You guys are knocking it out of the park tonight.
Well, Obama thanks, Steve.
We're working hard at it, that's for sure.
You guys are, I can't call you the Rush Limbaughs, but I'll tell you what, during the day, he is so missed. And
yeah,
I agree. YouTube has a lot of good stuff on there. You know, I mean, it's just all the liberal stuff on there and then all the January 6th. But, what was it? Bannon calls Liz Cheney Dick Cheney in drag with a wig. So, I mean,
yeah, I saw that. That was good.
She couldn't even make a librarian. I mean, she looks like she used to really be somebody. And I don't know what happened, but I mean, you could see Trump's kids on there and the people and Jason, whoever, I can't think of his name. He was Trump's advisor, Getter. He was, you know.
Oh, yeah. What it is evil. Is evil corrupts these people. You see what it does to them. It makes them evil in spirit. It makes them evil in their actions. And you can see the change in them. When you become born again, you become happier, more joyful, more loving. And these people, when they're taken over by the devil, well, you see the opposite take place.
I was just wondering if they're just kind of like, you know, that the real Soviet thing that, you know, hey, this is what you're going to be saying. If not, this is what you're going to, because Peter Navarro says, I'm going to spend everything. Well, I didn't say he's going to spend everything, but, you know, he's going to challenge everything he's gotten. And, you know, Bannon's coming up pretty soon, but Bannon's got like 185 million people on his downloads on his podcast. And I mean, it's just, he's right around the corner from the White House, and you guys at night and him during the day. I mean,
yeah, we're going to keep fighting with him. I got to move on, Steve, because we are out of time, but thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Hey, Joe, you've got 3 minutes. Can you give an invitation in 3 minutes?
I sure can. There's three things starts off. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And even back in the Old Testament, Isaiah in chapter 59 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin, because we have sin, original sin, we have sin because God gave us free will. And when we sin against God, but that separates us from God. But he loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to the end that all of us that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said in John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And we know Jesus is life. He's the creator God. He's the light and life of the world both. But there's a thing here. We're separated by our sin. Jesus came and took our place, went to the cross, paid the price for our sin. But we have to be willing to accept that gift he gave us. And we have to, and this is how you become saved, born again, we have to repent of our sin and call upon God to forgive us that our horrible sins placed his only Son on that cross. And we have to beg him for forgiveness with a truly repentant heart. And then we can ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, to be our Savior, that we are willing to give ourselves to him completely without reservation. And we ask that he give us the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where, well, Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you, the believer, the born-again believer. We then have that Holy Spirit, the down payment on eternal life. We become born again. We become children of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting life, and we become that new person, that new spiritual being, full of joy, hope, and a complete change in how we look at the world, see the world, act, think, everything. And it's a decision each and every person has to make. No one can make it for you. And it's by faith we are saved. We believe in Jesus Christ, and through our faith we are saved and have everlasting life. That's the long and short of it.
Whose word do you have in the long and short of it? Whose
God's
word do
word.
We We have God's word.
Word.
Does it get any better than that?
No.
Nope.
Cannot get better.
There's nothing as sure.
Forever.
Nothing as sure as God's word. There's nothing as sure as God's word. And you know who said that? God. Okay.
Himself.
Right. Amen. We are out of time. And till tomorrow, we say good night. God bless. And always, always keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.